On this episode of DC On Screen, WB upset some people with a Black Superman article on Henry Cavill's birthday. Toby Emmerich may be floating Netflix to haunt Zack Snyder over there. Plus, a CW series is renewed, and there may be a big move for another series. We'll talk about all of that and more, including listener feedback, right after these faceless money grubbers goad you to let them grip a dollar.
It's going to be the day you give the worst possible lead in that we get. It's an ad for something like just charity. It's literally going to be Habitat for Humanity followed by American Federation for Suicide Prevention.
Yeah. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 635. This is the podcast where we talk about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television, give honest opinions of projects upcoming and past, and believe that every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be. If it's been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man who captures local pigeons to outfit them with custom rhinestone vests, Jason Goss.
It's not the materials cost that gets up to you. It's the cost in child labor because you need their tiny hands.
Oh, I never know what Jason's going to say when I say these things. So,
never know what the fuck you're going to say when you tell me.
They're tiny hands. Oh, my God.
And they're so malleable at the time.
Oh. All right, so.
Eventually, we're going to have to change the opening so that it's like, even though it, what is it like, even if we, valid, even if we don't, shit, you just said it. Why am I blinking?
Every version of a property is valid, even if we don't want it to be.
Yeah, it's going to be, even if we don't want it to be, or don't believe it'll ever fucking happen.
Oh, well, that's an axiom, man.
At this point, yeah.
That's an axiom.
That's some of the firmer ground we have is doubt.
Yeah. Speaking of not being sure if anything ever happens.
They really have changes, but like, if we would have originally been like, we would have been some kind of philosopher. It would take me a minute to parse out which one I want to use, but at this point, we're just skeptics.
Yeah, about everything.
Yeah, we are Socrates at this point. With about 700 less IQ points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The same hankering for hemlock some days.
Ah, hemlock. Happiness is a warm hemlock.
They didn't have microwaves back then, Dave.
You could sit in the sun. You can sit in the sun.
It was kind of chilly in Greece at the time.
Just kind of sit atop the sundial.
Rome, I can't remember.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
I want to say Greek. God, I should fucking know that. I literally have textbooks.
I think it's Greek, actually, but.
Oh, this is my minor. This is embarrassing.
Your minor knowledge, yeah.
I have a degree. I should remember where fucking Socrates was from. I'm going with Greece. I'm going all or none with Greece. Fucking fail or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of fail, mm-hmm. I do want to thank the patrons. I want to thank the patrons. Because I'm terrible at keeping up with this stuff. Like, I've got four recordings I should put on Patreon right now. We just recorded a fifth. I don't know when this happened. I'm gonna try my best to get one of them up tonight.
Let's make that a real goal.
Yeah.
By let's, I mean you.
Right. No, I know what it means. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get this one edited like and ready for you to do the other pass at it and just hold it back.
Right.
Did you get one up yet?
Because you're not going to do this tonight.
It depends.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
It depends. We don't have a lot of news, so we'll be here for hours.
That's true. Thank you to Jonathan Hazelton, stalwart follower on Twitter and now a $5 patron.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So thank you very much to Jonathan. I'm sorry I haven't put up more stuff, man. I'm just a failure. I don't know. I get caught up in doing other things, drawing, you know, and I don't know what the hell else I'm doing.
Drawing,
you know,
and avoiding some Warner Brothers news.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But yeah, $1 on Patreon, $1 a month gets you every episode ad free. $5 gets you that plus whatever else we decide to put up this week. We just talked a little bit about Death Note, and maybe that'll come out soon. It's just gonna be like, I'm just gonna power through and like just put up like one after the other every day, something new. That's what I need to do.
Well, John, when we do get something up, it'll be a pleasure to see you there. It's been a pleasure hanging out on Twitter.
Absolutely. So patreon.com/DC on screen. And if you don't want to deal with that, but you do want to, you know, donate or whatever, DCOnScreen.com, click the donate button. And there's also a store button. You can go and you can buy t-shirts and whatnot. And they're running some kind of sale over there right now. And, I'm not good at my job, so I don't know what that sale exactly is, but, it's a substantial amount off. So that is right now is a good time to go right now.
Yeah.
It's through the 7th. So do that. Go buy things with our logo and you can rub your private parts on them or something. I don't know what people do. I'm so sorry. All right.
I just assume kindling. I assume it's expensive firewood.
Right. So it is Henry Cavill's birthday today. And, you know, a lot of the fandom is up in arms about this. And I get it. I get it. They're touting their black Superman. And they're looking for a black director, and that makes sense. I don't have any issues with it, obviously. I don't care. The only thing is, you know, I don't really necessarily believe this is going to happen.
Yeah, the two things.
And also, it's on Henry Cavill's birthday. That's
just fucking
kind of a shitty thing.
It is shitty. Like the only thing that I was wondering is like, is it supposed to be Black Superman on Cavill's because he was in a black suit last? Like, is that?
Yeah.
Did they think they're being? No, I doubt it.
But no, I doubt that was.
I mean, I've seen widespread.
So Snyder fans like Black Superman, do they? Well, we'll give them a Black Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop twirling your mustache, Amata.
Read my mind, people. How do you even do it? I have seen a lot of like, oh my god, I can't believe they announced the reboot right now. Like, okay, well, first of all, just calm down. Let's see what the hell happens, because do you know how many things have been announced versus produced? Because the amount of announced versus produced is pretty much, if we were just doing a percentage wise thing, announced is winning. Like, I think more, I mean, I haven't actually tallied it up, but I think more has been said or slated than has been actually made.
That's true.
I mean, granted, take away the numbers of things that were slated and then made. Take that off the table. I mean, slated and never made. But because obviously I'd be right if it wasn't the case. But yeah, like, first of all, let's see where the fuck it goes. Second, you can't ignore the timing, because anytime there's, you got to look at the timing at this point for any kind of Warner Brothers announcement. Just, Jesus, man, you can't just actually casually look at things anymore. We should not have to know the fucking executive structure of this company, but we do.
Yeah.
Because it takes that level of, I don't know, investment to be able to actually give a shit and have to be able to keep any faith in it or shit. It's hard to say. Like, sometimes it makes you lose faith, but like knowing more makes you at least be able to get your head around it a little bit. Like, it's really hard to navigate. But the other thing is like, it is not being called necessarily a reboot. Even in that article, it's supposed to be another world thing, which makes sense because, what's actual Black Superman's name? I can't remember.
Oh, there was Calvin Harris, and then there was Val Zod, I think.
Val Zod's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
There are two different ones.
That's the one I was thinking of, because I was thinking it was a Kryptonian name. I meant to look that up. I just see him so rarely. Like, the last time I saw him was in the Metal series, I think, and it was pretty brief. But, yeah, like, even still, like, it's another Earth that we're talking about, like literally that the one we're talking about. And then they said that it's going to be not in continuity. Like, it's kind of a Joker style thing so far.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe the Batman style thing so far.
Like, I don't. Okay. So clearly, let's get this out of the way. This is clearly more like, yay, look at us. We're into diversity.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, the patting this yourself is, on the back part. Yeah. Yeah. We should absolutely go fuck yourself.
This is very clearly just another, like, drumming their diversity, you know, beat. Like, saying, hey, look at this. See, Ray Fisher's a liar. And for them to come out and have this article that says diversity and representation remain key drivers of the DC universe moving forward. Assholes, yeah. it was a pretty damn key thing before when Snyder was doing it, but hey, okay.
The original slate, day one slate we saw had a cyborg movie on it. You can't backtrack into like, well, we're going to make a movie with the black guy lead. Go fuck yourself.
And look, you know,
there's going to be a lot of go fuck yourself this episode.
And, you know, I don't know about a lot, but look, they said, you know,
we're running up the tally so far.
They're going on about their diversity, but at the same time, I'm going like, you know, you haven't apologized to Ray Fisher or the people, the participants of the investigation.
No.
You've, you know, sidelined all of that. And, you know, it's funny, like Tim from DC Film Squadcast said on Twitter, he says, when you don't prioritize developing some of your original black DC superheroes, such as Vixen, Cyborg, John Henry, or Natasha Irons, Icon, John Stewart, Calvin Ellis, etc. for the big screen, then you're really not serious about being a studio with an eye on diversity. I tend to agree.
Yeah, it's a fine point. There's plenty of things.
This is a stunt.
Like a lot of people pointed out that if they just let John Stewart's roll into the thing that would have done great probably.
Right. And so look, you know, this is, you know, I mean, another Squadcast guy, Ray Flightcast, referred to it as a stunt. I can't disagree with that either. I think this is just more, look at us, we're great. And then in a certain amount of time, you guys are going to forget this happens. Or this was going to happen, because it's not going to, you know, I suspect it's not going to happen.
I don't think it will either. I think there's a lot of, like, well, I mean, one of the reasons they won't apologize to Ray Fisher publicly is because, like, apologizing to, you know, an estranged friend and apologizing to an employer are very different things legally in terms of what you're going to be culpable for. I get that. I really do. But there are still ways to do it. It has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
You can still come to private terms with people and have the public apology be part of the fucking private terms. These are all things that are precedented and doable. And then, yeah, the fact that you could have done all these other things in the meantime is just not lost on anybody. So I think we're just, I mean, we're squarely in the, like, we can talk about it and rant about it all we want, but they're very much just throwing a bunch of shit up against the wall to see what sticks right now. I mean, they've got about 3 months, I feel like, before they really have to buckle down and figure out what's going to be in that fandom thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that.
And I feel like before that, they're just going to try to, like, stretch out their tentacles and just, like, see what they can get some positive response on. But the only thing that annoys me about it is it's not scientific. It's not like they're stretching out a hand and seeing what a focus group says or something, or following where some of the trends are or anything like that. They're just, like, they're looking for confirmation bias. You know what I mean? Like, they're stretching out these different things and seeing which one of the things they want to get a positive response finally gets one, and then they're going to roll with that.
Right.
It's painfully transparent, honestly.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not mad at this idea. This is a cool idea if they do, like, because there's in the article they say that, you know, he'll be from Krypton. And it'll be set in the 20th century. Like, me personally, yeah, I would love to see
different time period. To see, hell yeah.
Dude, I would love to see civil rights era Superman. Black Superman in the civil rights era, like alternate history.
There's a graphic audiobook that's based on somebody. I don't know. Probably Marv. But I think it's called It's Superman. And it's this story of like a 1920s coming of age story of Superman.
Yeah.
That in the story is I mean, it's a white dude in the story, but I read all that in the period piece part and thought, there's no reason you couldn't adapt that. That'd be kind of fun. because there's like mm-hmm. there's a lot of civil rights kind of encounters during it. It's very aware of race and very aware of like the place of that in the story at the time. It's very Supermany in the sense that like of course he's fucking progressive in that way. Something like that I kind of read and was like, man, even that little kind of story would be kind of adaptable that way. Like I could dig that. It's not mm-hmm. that I don't like this idea. It's that I hate fucking them throwing this shit at us when we just know it's bullshit.
Yes.
I would love this idea if the DCU was already going.
It is because it's Warner Brothers. We know why they're doing this. It is a PR stunt. They have not proven themselves in any capacity to be trustworthy or of solid intent.
No.
They are, look, and this is not against Ta-Nehisi Coates. This article says he's not expected to have this script done until mid-December. So, Fandom is October. I don't think we'll be hearing about it.
No.
I don't think we'll be hearing about it, guys.
On average, a DCU film has to go through at least 3 rewrites.
Yeah, they've got to have the whole bit where they like fire the screenwriter and then they got to get like the committee in there.
Yeah. And the second guy has to be like a step up and you think it's going to work and it's probably going to be a comic writer.
They've got to throw their stake to the hungry lions.
Right, exactly. And just because it's this, it's like, they also mentioned they were going to get like, a black director, hopefully a black writer or something like that. Again, mm-hmm. all stuff that sounds fantastic. And look, if they make it just on the merit of what's in that article, I'll fucking watch the hell out of it. Like, give me a black director, black writer, black Superman. Give me an outside of normal canon film that I don't have to worry about any of the stuff that's, the shit that we're just kind of constantly pining for. Like, we kind of want to finish this story. Like, even if you want to start a new story, please just let me finish this one up first kind of thing. You give me all that. You even give me like a period piece where I get to kind of go play around another time where it even definitely like the same way the Batman's doing actually. It's like we're about 20 years before, 30 years before, frankly. But yeah, you get to go play in a new playground. I get to accept it for what it is and go watch. And fuck yeah, I'm going to go watch that movie if it is what it stated. But I don't believe any of those things yet.
Yep.
And I have no reason to.
Here's a part of that article that's upsetting people.
Mm-hmm.
DC sees its upcoming Flash movie, which began production in April in London, as its way forward in this post-Snyder world. With the inclusion of such characters as Supergirl and Michael Keaton's Batman, one thing Flash does is set up DC with a multiverse that allows for many of these incarnations and story universes to coexist and have superheroes interact. Okay, so far so good.
Mm-hmm.
It says, so far, every movie and TV show, with the exception of Matt Reeves' The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson and set for release in March, HBO Max's spinoff Gotham PD, and Joker, and its planned sequel, will take place in the same universe. Now, a bunch of people think that means that the Batman and Joker are in the same universe. It is not.
No, there was speculation, but that has never been the case or confirmed.
This is what you call poor writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is just markedly poor writing.
It's either poor writing and then poor editing, or someone who gave it their best shot but had no fucking idea what they were diving into.
Right. And it's Boris Kitt and Tatiana Siegel, who wrote this thing.
So not the latter.
It looks like. One of our listeners, one of our friends, Ryan Hulsman, also pointed out, everything's the same universe except for, the Batman, Gotham PD, Joker, Titans, Doom Patrol, Stargirl, Arrowverse.
Except for like everything you're doing. Yeah, it's all the same.
Right.
The funny part is to me, like when they say that, you got to think they're referring to the CW Crisis event.
Yeah.
Because it did tie so many things in. And that's fantastic if you fucking roll with it.
Including the Michael Keaton Batman.
Exactly.
This is going to be in The Flash. Oh, wait. Ezra Miller was on Crisis. Didn't we already do all this?
Yes. Yes, sweetie, we did. But yeah, it's not like this is news that there could be a multiverse and that they're not going to explain it to anyone. Dude, I mean, in the actual comics, we're beyond the multiverse. It's into the omniverse. There aren't just monitors and shit anymore. They're, I forget what they're called, but they're past that. It's they're people that monitor monitors. Like, the comics readers can understand far more than this. I have four different versions of Superman, like, in my to-do pile sitting to my right now in four different storylines, none of which are connected and chronologically make fuck all for sense. Like, that's just that's how we do. You can keep 25 fucking storylines in your head if you actually understand how comics work. And a lot of these people will if you give them the fucking chance.
That's true.
I think they can trust them more than they are. It honestly, like, I realize, like, we're way past the, you know, Diane days of mocking her and all that. I've grown to wonder whether it was ever her prerogative.
Right. To keep them separate. See, that's the thing, is like, we used to be like, Diane Nelson wants to keep everything secret or separate. Doesn't she understand?
Yeah.
To now we're just like, I didn't realize how much we were going to fall, because like, she leaves and now we're dealing with, well, Jeff Johns put on blackface again today. Yeah. He's trying to convince more black people that they don't know how to write black people. Yeah. And
she'll ninja tweet it and then bounce off Twitter for a while. I didn't, at the time, it felt like we had someone we could blame for what was a singular bad thought. And in retrospect, I just want to apologize to her. Like, yeah. I feel like she was just trying to put the best face she could.
We have a few times now.
Yeah, on a really bad dictum that she had been handed. You know what I mean?
More like a really bad dick she's been handed.
And
Jeff Johns.
No, C.G. Hara. She worked with him.
Yeah, but she has actively attacked Johns.
Oh, yeah. So figurative and metaphor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Those were times that, man, it's like we thought they were bad.
Those were the good old bad days.
Those were the good old mild salsa days. This is some Poblano fucking pepper right in your mouth shit.
Yeah.
No, Poblanos are kind of mild. Ghost peppers, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, all right. So moving on to this Hollywood Reporter business. Kim Masters reporting that apparently with 18 months left in his contract, Toby Emmerich might be exploring some job opportunities over at Netflix. Looks like some sources told Hollywood Reporter that David Geffen called Netflix, the co-CEO Ted Sarandos, to ask if there might be a possible role for Emmerich at Netflix. And basically the answer was no.
I would love to think that this article wasn't just another toss it up. We know his contract's ending. What can we throw out there to try to scoop something just in case kind of thing?
Right.
I would really love to think that it's more that it's – I would actually – this is the one I wanted to believe.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to believe it for – yeah, no. I didn't want to believe it for Snyder's sake, which his contract – like Emmerich's contract is up in 2022. So, yeah, he is – that's the thing, though.
I'm not worried about Snyder.
Right. I am if Toby Emmerich gets a position over him at Netflix and then all of a sudden, nobody at Netflix can get their shit done.
What is that phrase? He is his own host or something like that?
Right.
That's going to bother me now. I'm going to look at the phrase. Anyway, yeah, like he is – Snyder will be okay where he goes. He's gone to Netflix. Army of the Dead will probably – it looks good. It'll probably do pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the stuff that he's had streamed over there occasionally has done well. I think he had at least – anyway, I don't know about that. But
I don't think so.
There are plenty of other venues for him. Like Emmerich could get there and go, hey, it's me now. By the way, go fuck yourself. And Snyder could calmly go like, okay, cool. See you on the other side, bro. And bounce to Amazon Prime probably.
Right.
That would be where I would assume he'd go next, frankly. We'd go join the network that gave us The Boys and Invincible,
Oh, that'd be fantastic too. Right? Look, you could get a lot of
you could get the Lord's work done over there.
until Amazon canceled him. Yeah, no, a source close to
between seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Netflix will do the same. I mean,
yeah, they will. They will for sure. They cut throat.
No, dude, streaming services are great until they're just not, and there is no warning.
So this source close to Sarando said no call was placed to him and there was no discussion about a position. So someone pointed out in the article, and you know, I'll link to the article, but they were saying that like this could have been a rumor that got started as a negotiation ploy for Emmerich and Warner Brothers. It could be several different things. Could be just Geffen trying to, you know, he's out of the business, but he likes to kind of shake things up and try to get people in good positions and call in favors and stuff. And, you know, there's all sorts of shit it could be. But I wouldn't worry about it just yet. You want to talk about DC fandom?
Yeah.
All we know is this.
I think I'm through cussing about the move over. Other than, like, if he wants me to help him write him a resume, I'll be happy to pitch in.
Ooh, I'd love to see your resume for Toby Emmerich.
It won't be great. There'll be a lot of typos.
It's just like you should write all the recommend.
I proofread things for a living. At this, there will be a lot of typos.
The recommendations segment will just be like Zack Snyder, Deborah Snyder, Patty Jenkins. No,
the recommendations will be it'll be Kathy the Snyders. Yan. Hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
Uh huh.
Kathy Yan, David Ayer, and just my nutsack.
D's nuts.
It'll just my actual nuts.
Just says D's.
End of a hot Alabama day.
D's D nuts.
Yeah.
What does the D stand for? Damn.
Yeah.
D's damn nuts.
It will not be free.
Fandom. Like your nuts.
A lot of his previous work will include, I'm going to say pornography. There will be a redacted portion where it's not fully redacted, and you can tell that it's like it's the time he spent serving in like a prison cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see through the black marks and just read it very clearly.
Yeah. Star Wars pornography, slippery when fet.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there's some respect to have for the pornography community. I'm not going to be talking about that side. I'm going to be talking about the side that those people think are worth shit.
Oh my gosh. So there's a fandom, new fandom coming October 2021, the 16th to be exact. I don't know how excited any of you are for it. I saw some people who are excited. I don't know why. I feel like it's more empty promises, more lies. Maybe there will be some cool videos of Jim Lee drawing. Other than that, I don't give a damn. I don't. I just.
There probably will be.
All right. Yeah.
At least get that.
Yeah. Maybe get a couple. Maybe get a good Matt Reeves trailer or something. You know. I would assume. I can't imagine we wouldn't get a Matt Reeves Batman trailer.
Another teaser would just crack me up if they just called it that.
That would piss me off. But, you know.
Like, if it was new footage, this would just crack me up if they did it anyway. If they called it a teaser and then it was 3.5 minutes of brand new footage that's clearly a trailer. I don't know. I would at least be like, oh, that's kind of funny. But no, yeah. Let's see. All right. So in October, God, maybe some really, really early on looks at Black Adam. Because I think there's some set activity at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully by then some Flash. They're on set. They have been for a couple weeks.
That would be cool to get some teaser footage of Keaton. Even though my excitement for that movie is just kind of bottomed out. And I think it's mostly because of the Ray Fisher thing.
Yeah, that it's
I think that's it.
That's hard to reconcile. I agree.
It's not Muschietti's fault. It's not Michael Keaton's fault. It's not Ezra Miller's fault.
Yeah, but I mean, for that reason, I try to keep things a little bit compartmentalized for myself. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't their choice, and they're just trying to do the best they can with the situation. So I want to give them as much credit as I can, but it doesn't mean you don't. Like, so that means for me, I can personally watch something, enjoy it, and you know, maybe even really enjoy it. But I can still walk away from the theater thinking, man, they fucked one thing up there, and it just had nothing to do with any decisions they made.
Mm-hmm.
So Flash maybe at that point. Now there's going to be a lot of TV that at that point will be back in production. It'd probably be a pretty TV heavy fandom, I would guess.
My guess would be, yeah, but you know, the Suicide Squad will come out in August.
parts of Canada went back under lockdown, so I don't know how Vancouver was doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't actually seen.
So yeah, well, I mean, Aquaman 2, they're training for Aquaman 2 right now. They're doing, you know, Amber Heard and whoever else, whoever the hell else is in that movie, has been training to get back into the water there. I do think Black Adam is happening officially now, and so is The Flash. So we'll have that, and I'm pretty sure they're about to do Shazam 2. So I don't know when that starts filming.
I don't know. They've got to start soon, though. Those kids are going to grow.
Let them grow.
I mean, they can, and that's fine. It's just
let them. I want to see Shazam 2 college years. I don't give a shit.
I never want to see anything named the college years because I watched Saved by the Bell growing up.
You watched Saved by the Bell growing up?
Yeah.
Did you see that they put out the Justice League 4K trailer on YouTube? Did you see that controversy?
I didn't saw the controversy. I didn't so much see the controversy or the trailer. I just saw endless comments about how ratioed it got.
Yeah. It's got something like 100,000 downvotes, like dislikes on YouTube.
I mean, it was literally, the percentage was just astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Just unreal.
It cracked me up.
I think the last one I saw was like 72,000 dislikes and then like 3,000 likes or something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And it was growing when I saw that.
You know, and Zach and Ray Porter were like, yep, they crossed the line. They actually said it. They said, like, okay. Makes sense.
Yep.
Like, you know, hey, whatever. I enjoyed it. There were some set photos from The Flash that showed the Nebworth House,
mm-hmm.
the Gothic Tudor mansion north of London that was used for the exterior of Wayne Manor in Batman and Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they're filming there. So I can't look, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I am. I'm excited. I saw it and it went. And then I was like, there was like a little, you know, angel on my shoulder that just said, did you really mean that? And then they showed me a picture of Ray Fisher and I went, oh, and you know, I don't know. See, this is what I'm saying. Like, Warner Brothers just shoot themselves in the foot. I want to be excited.
Yeah.
I genuinely Black Adam.
Genuinely want to see their metrics for why at least actually giving a cul-de-sac, not pretending to, would somehow not work in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open. I'm genuinely open to the idea. I really am. But yeah. I would like to have someone explain it to me.
Black Adam has cast young rock star, I can't say his name, Uli Latukafu, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
They cast him. They're not saying why, but since, you know, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock,
mm-hmm.
Handpicked that kid to play Young Rock in the show Young Rock. A lot of people are thinking maybe it might be for a Black Adam flashback. So that'd be kind of neat if that kid's whole like career just winds up being him walking around playing young versions of The Rock and everything.
He could. I mean, there's a version of the Teth family.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to train him to be a wrestler. They're just going to send him back as The Rock.
Yeah. No, he's it's the same story, except he's actually successful in the NFL and never.
Yeah. And Michael B. Jordan says that the Static Shock movie script draft is currently being worked on. He says we have a writer, Randy McKinnon, who's putting together take and draft right now. He said that to Collider. So that's cool. Hope it happens.
God, I forgot about that one for a second. Yeah. I'm still in.
Yeah. By the way, did you notice that I said that earlier they're still talking about doing the Joker sequel?
Yes, I did. And I noticed that was made into an entire headline.
Yeah.
I
just thought I'd mention it again. Make sure you knew.
I did. It's just that it was mentioned as an entire headline where I think the article only stated that it was a different universe, much like blah, 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 and the upcoming Joker 2 sequel. written in an article that was dubious.
Mm-hmm.
The last I checked, their entire plan, like the Phillips Phoenix plan was, yeah, they're throwing money at us, but unless we have an idea, we're not doing it.
Right.
And until one of them says they're doing it, I don't give a fuck.
Right. If I was them, I would take money to quote unquote develop a sequel.
Oh, for sure. But I don't know if you could ask them to like just do the development part without some kind of timeline.
Right.
I sure as hell wouldn't ask them to just develop a thing without some kind of inclusionary. Like I wouldn't. There's no way they're getting part of my money without actually committing to making all the money. It's a $1 billion fucking film.
I hope they're just sitting in an office taking the money and going, you know, cocaine was a big thing in the 80s. What if he does cocaine? Yeah, that might be fun.
Yeah, that'll be, it would be anyway, Scarface with Joker.
Scarface. We did Taxi Driver, but with Joker. Let's do Scarface with Joker. Maybe.
We're going to bounce around, you know, popular 80s films.
Yeah.
You know, he gets real out of shape. In a Scarface with Joker film, and next thing we do would be like a Rocky film where he gets back in shape.
Right.
Yeah, Rocky Joker.
You know, meets up with the Penguin, you know.
He trains him.
That nose.
With a tiny hat.
He had to have reconstructive surgery on his nose because of all the cocaine, and that's why it's so pointed now. And then they meet up with their, you know, Colombian drug lord, Bane.
Mm-hmm.
We could do all this shit. And like, meanwhile, Bruce is still like 10.
Oh, that's actually why his skin is white. He snorted so much it actually changed the pigment.
Right.
Not even medically possible, right. But I'll go with it for the movie's sake.
Right.
I'm now imagining the guy that trained Rocky with that tiny little kind of like velvetish little beanie hat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like with the bottom of the Coca-Cola glass monocle that he had in the Arkham games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm kind of digging that. I could get behind that.
Yeah. I can do that.
And then, at some point, him yelling at him, "Why are you training me, you fat fuck?" You know, okay.
Yeah, I can deal with it.
Yeah.
Harley never touches the Coke, but she drinks a lot. She's Harley Gin, you know.
In the end, he finishes a big fight, and he's yelling, "Harley Gin! Harley Gin!"
Okay. You want to go to break, come back, talk a little bit about TV and feedback?
Yep.
Cool. You gonna go piss?
I'm actually good.
You're good?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow. All right, well, we'll be right back. All right, we're back. We're gonna talk a little bit about the TV show, or the TV shows. The Flash, losing Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos Valdez at the end of the current season. How do you feel about that?
I don't like it in principle. I feel like I should judge it more when I've finished where we are in the current season.
Yeah.
But in principle, sure, those are two of my favorite parts of the show, and especially their back and forths. But, maybe it is time.
Yeah, you know, I forwarded that news along to my sister-in-law, and she was, you know, beside herself. And I said, well, look, you know, it hasn't stopped the show from sucking the last couple seasons, them being there.
It's not, so they're not on their, I don't know, it's not their finest seasons.
it is certainly not. And, you know, Kavanaugh ended his series regular run with the third episode of this season. And Valdez is going to be a series regular technically until the end of this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eric Wallace, the showrunner, you know, that guy that loves to spoil us on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, I don't know what you want me to do. Or I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do, but here's a 12-point plan.
Right. He says both are incredible talents who created beloved characters that fans and audiences around the world have come to love, which is why we are happily keeping the door open for return appearances. Okay. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, buddy.
What's the alternative to that sentence? People who have not really created much of a response, which is why we're just going to close the door on these motherfuckers.
Right.
Because it's clear no one would care.
No, I think this is like damage control for him. It's like, look, I know they're like the most popular characters. Please don't stop watching our show, the 100,000 who are still watching our show. I don't know. I think they still get what a million for us. I don't even know. I don't keep up with the ratings anymore. But yeah, it like Kavanaugh was supposed to leave last year, mm-hmm. but you know, COVID screwed everything up.
Mm. I think I will give him this. Like both of those characters, one of the reasons I wasn't completely heartbroken is I think both of those actors care enough about what they've created there that they'd like to leave it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they'll do what it takes to actually, you know, leave it in a good spot. I don't, you know, we're not going to get like, what was her name? Like the Barry love interest before they went into the Irish thing hard that was like, why are we not doing this?
Patty Spivot.
Spivot. I kept thinking Spigot. Okay. Yeah. But Spigot's like a term from work. I knew that couldn't be right. Yeah. yeah. Like I knew. I don't know, man. I think they do care deeply enough about those characters, and clearly we care about them. Like I've loved them, man.
Chantel, my Bill. I can't keep her on a damn superhero show to save my life.
I know.
It's just
or to save hers.
Can you just leave her on a show and let me enjoy just her
leave
presence?
Leave her there for 10 damn minutes.
Anyway.
I don't think this will end unsatisfyingly. Unsatisfactorily.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says, court Deadline saying that Gustin has already contracted for season 8, and Candace Patton and Daniel Panabaker are negotiating new deals to return. If you want my honest opinion, either they need to get a new showrunner or they need to call it, because I have not enjoyed the show this season or last season. And I liked it all the way through the 5th season. Even at that point, I felt like every season since season 2 has been a little worse than the last. But season 6 was such a drastic downgrade. And then season 7, this season so far, has just been pretty much shit for me. I have disliked every episode. I've been bored. Some of that might be my fault. I know we've got listeners who love that shit. Ryan Huelsman still enjoys the shit out of it, doesn't want it to end, and I'm happy for him. He's probably the most vocal on CW Love.
It's not like
I'm not mad at him. I wish I felt the same way.
It's not like I disagree in principle. I do feel like part of I haven't enjoyed everything as much this season, and I genuinely place up to 50% of the blame on myself. I just mm-hmm. I haven't had as much time to really sit down and enjoy this season. I haven't been able to make as much time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I have, I've been a little bit distracted. Like it's a little bit on me.
Totally.
But it's also felt like there was a build up and especially The Flash season for season had like a really good build up, a really good story that they were going for, and I just hadn't got that vibe the last couple times, you know?
All right, well, he did give up his powers.
Yeah, I know.
Well, now you're really not going to be getting that vibe.
You really would think that anytime Vibe gave up his powers, like, Barry could just shake his hand real quick and just be like, you got him back?
Yeah. But no, you know, I hope the show gets better. I do. I miss loving The Flash like hell. Like, I miss the season 2 feelings. You know, I even really enjoyed season 3 and season 4. You know, Nora got on my nerves eventually, but I liked her at first quite a long time, actually. So, you know, I hope it comes back. I hope it, you know, as far as like, if I had to choose whether I wanted to be canceled and stay bad and be canceled or get better and last another 10 years and be solid for the rest of the time, I would choose, you know, get better and last for 10 years. But if they're just going to be like what they are right now, I'm sorry. Please go away.
There are parts of the CW that I'm like, man, I don't know where we're going with this. And I feel like I either need to, again, I totally blame part of this on me. Minimum 30%, uh-huh. Max 50. Not saying entirely my fault. I'll call it 50-50 max. I'll definitely give it at least minimum 30%. I haven't been able to get invested in where they're going enough that I'm just kind of nicking for that next episode. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's a part of me that wants to be like,
let me sit down and, okay, I'm just going to, let me watch and then
Mm-hmm.
Maybe enjoy parts of the episode, parts not. That's all well and good. That would be the case even if I was invested in the season, right?
But yeah.
It just, you don't get to the end and you're like, fuck, I've got to see what's going on next.
Yeah. And, you know, I did. I think I thought, like, maybe I'm just burnt out on superheroes. And then I watched 4 hours of Zack Snyder's Justice League. And
and another four hours.
And then I watched, up to, like, that painkiller episode of Black Lightning and enjoyed the shit out of that. And I was like, well, that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Then Painkiller happened and I haven't enjoyed the show since. But that pilot was just bad. So yeah, I mean, I haven't enjoyed Supergirl this season. Like, I just haven't. I haven't thought it was very good. I thought it's been poorly written, poorly acted. Just what is happening? But Superman and Lois has been really good. I've really enjoyed that. I've loved every episode. So
that, even Superman and Lois, I watched, and there are parts of that I liked, but it you know, overall picture is, you know, shit. I mean, a lot of this was shot under duress effectively. I don't think they were trying to, well, I think they were trying to get as close to the show that they were trying to make as possible. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every show. And there have just been certain restrictions that have kept.
Oh, because of COVID.
Yeah. Like, there are certain things you can't do in a room anymore right now.
Yeah. See, that's the sad thing, as you said, that it was shot under duress. And I thought, oh, Geoff Johns is involved, isn't he?
No.
Like, I'm just over here just like chomping at the bit, ready to attack that dude.
It was strangely something stronger and more destructive.
But yeah, like I've enjoyed Superman and Lois, which leads me to the conclusion it's not superhero fatigue.
No, I mean, you like devoured Invincible, something I'm really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my weekend. I just I honestly, it would have been last weekend, but we were out of town. We went to the beach and turns out the little girl's pretty good at being at the beach, except when you try to take her away from it.
Yes, that's indicative of children.
Or the pool.
All right. So Stargirl has been renewed for a third season before even airing their second season. So I don't know what to think. I guess this is good news for the Warner Brothers Dark Master, Geoff Johns.
Or is it just more distracting news in a time of so many other unpredictable moments?
Maybe so. I like Stargirl. I wish I didn't, but it's a solid show.
Well, it's okay. So here's the compartmentalization part. Mm-hmm. The character's good. The character comes from a place that's, I don't care how you feel about Geoff Johns. The character itself comes from a place that I can have a lot of sympathy for even.
Yeah. 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 His sister didn't do anything that we know of. Yeah.
And best I can tell, he just tried to honor her memory with that character, and he did a good job, because part three of that is he's a good comic writer.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not always, but, you know, shit, everybody's got good and bad days. Grant Morrison's, you know, on...
We've got three Jokers in our holster now, we know.
Grant Morrison's Mount Rushmore of comics, and he has shit I just couldn't finish, you know?
Yeah, oh, there's definitely some Grant Morrison stuff I'm like... What am I reading? What is this?
I don't even remember what the plot was, and I don't think you do either.
You did too many drugs before this one, Grant.
Yeah. Like, you need to...
But I still love you. Don't put a spell on here or anything.
Yeah, a little less spells, a little more drafts, my friend.
Right, right. Maybe...
Stop fighting that snake god. I forget what his particular slant on... witchcraft is. Or he may be Wiccan. I can't remember.
I don't know. I know that he and Alan Moore diametrically opposed in witchcraft, sorcery, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think Alan Moore is the snake god. So.
I know Alan Moore is the snake god. I can't not remember what his what he is in that as far as the nemesis aspect goes. But yeah, like, it's all right. So there's parts of Stargirl that are like, you got to compartmentalize. Geoff Johns, mm-hmm, is possibly a shitty human being. And by possibly, I mean definitely.
Yeah, or woefully ignorant.
Yeah, there's outside chance that it's just he's okay. Yeah, but he has at least like helped along some shows that were good. He has maybe hindered some movies that were bad, and by maybe I mean absolutely, definitely, no doubt. I just mean as a creative force, he's got his good and his bad points. As a person, mm-hmm. consider that differently. So as far as Stargirl's concerned, if we're just talking about the show, and again, we go back to the point where I was talking about earlier, is like, man, you like with the Flash film, like it's not the people involved in Stargirl's fault that they're associated with this person. Those are all people that are just trying the best to do the best they can with the product, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them clearly are, because the first season was pretty fucking stellar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, genuinely, I was looking forward to every fucking episode. You just can't, like, man, you got to be able to pull these things a little bit apart.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Gene Roddenberry was an absolute shit.
He was a dickhead and a half, right?
Yeah. He sure was. Sure was, Jason.
I believe I've read a story about him where at one point he was in a writer's room meeting and he just bursted out in the middle of the writer's room meeting and said, like, you know what I love? Loads of cum coming out my dick.
Yeah, that was, I don't think it was a writer's room meeting, but yeah, that was supposedly a thing that happened. He came back from lunch and he was all coked up.
That was a scene though. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, biggest thing to me was the attempted rape and subsequent firing of Grace Lee Whitney, who played Yeoman Rand. There are lots of problematic behavior with Roddenberry, but,
I mean, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll fucking do it.
Yeah. So anyway, Warner Brothers has cast Green Lantern or a Green Lantern, Guy Gardner specifically, Finn Wittrock or Wittrock. I don't know how you say it, from American Horror Story. And, no, he's not Ginger. I don't know why anybody's surprised or cares, but no, he's not Ginger.
I mean, to some extent I get it. And to some extent I want to like hold you accountable, like, yeah, you've worried about like Gal Gadot's eyes, like,
yeah, but I really like blue.
I also get that.
I mean, yeah, you know, if I was in charge of it, yeah, he would be Ginger. He would. It might still be him. I don't know this guy.
I'll tell you what, it might still be him. Means far less to me than he needs to have a bad haircut.
Yeah, I don't see necessarily see a need for him to have a bad haircut.
Bowl cut, man?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a bowl cut.
Well, that's why I said bad haircut.
Yeah.
Like a bowl haircut was the style of the time for a moment. I had one. Yeah. I have pictures. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. My entire baseball team had them at the time. I have an excuse, but I don't really have an excuse. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I never understood why kids had that. I was around back then.
I was the latest because I was confused, but I was like, well, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah. I mean, I had family members like, well, why don't you want to do that? Like, they're like your friends there. And I'm like, because they all look like Toad from Mario.
Because everyone here looks like a douchebag. And then later they're like, well, if your friends jumped off a cliff, and you're like, well, I didn't though. You saw. The cliff came knocking and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have seen a lot of people like, oh, they're going to bring Guy Gardner's the lead in the show when they couldn't have Wayne T. Carr playing Jon Stewart. And why won't, man, they've already talked about having gay Alan Scott up in there. They've talked about having apparently a gay black female lead in this thing. Like, that he's not going to be the only Lantern. I'm not saying I'm for Geoff Johns. I'm not saying they shouldn't have a Wayne T. Carr, whatever. I want to see him in Justice League too. But it ain't Finn Wittrock's problem. It's not his fault.
Yeah, yeah. Him taking
it's
not the
Greg Berlanti's fault.
Didn't mean he signed on to that problem. Now, yeah, it is a seemingly a problem we keep running into that for some reason black characters don't get as included with Geoff Johns. Maybe. Maybe it's a thing we can talk about, but is it his problem? No, not that particular actor's problem.
Well, see, I'm not even sure that is true. Like, because he has brought a ton of diversity to the stuff that he has done.
Oh, in the books? It's absolutely.
Just, yeah. I think his problem is just wanting, like, I think, honestly, they were going to keep Zack Snyder's name on Justice League, and he didn't want Zack to be the one with diversity. I think he wanted to cut out as much as he could of what Zack was doing, so that that was one. I don't know. Maybe I'm just. I don't know. I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. At some point, you think maybe Geoff Johns was, you know, a voice piece for Warner Brothers. Maybe they told him you can't have Black Granddaddy Superman or whatever. Maybe.
I mean, maybe, but.
Then again, like on Twitter earlier, you know, I was like, I want to know what happened between in Geoff Johns' marriage. Did he think that she was being suspicious? Did he say, you know what, Nor, you haven't been acting like a black person lately. And also, what's with your hair? Why do you keep changing it? That's not what black people do.
Yeah.
I married a black woman, damn it. Not whatever this is.
That's not what I signed up for.
What does he do? I don't understand, because you have so much diversity that he's injected into these characters and into these mythos. But then you have stories like this and you're like, what was the motivation? Did you just get so big and have so much power that you thought you knew better than everybody else?
Honestly, I feel like that's going to be a lot of it. Like, I feel like we can go back and talk about his race relations a lot, but it's ultimately going to come down to, honestly, I feel like the underlying fact is he thought his writing was so much better than everyone else's that he could justify it however he wanted to, and he was just ultimately a little bit wrong about that. And it's not that he's like, dude, he's a great writer in context. In certain forms, he's been fantastic. I mean, he expanded the Green Lanterns, for God's sake, into a whole fucking spectrum. But, and shit, it was good. It was a good call. Like, I love that it's part of the universe now.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's never made a contribution or all of his should be redacted. It's just that I think he just got in over his fucking head and got a little too proud of himself. And there are parts of this that he's being blamed for that are maybe a little unfair, but there are parts of it that are genuinely unfair. And yeah, I do think he's got a little bit of a whole, you know, that whole I've got a black friend complex kind of thing going on.
Well, to be fair, I do think I've got a black wife holds a little more weight than I have a black friend.
I know, but that's how it's named.
You know, it's still the same. It still feels very much the same. I get it. It's
just like if I had to name that complex, that's what it would be named.
Right.
But yeah, like there's a lot of stuff going on with it that's it's a very complex fucking thing. I feel like we'll know more in 15, 20 years than we do now, and even then we'll still be confused.
And even from that's the thing is even from the perspective of an ex-wife, ex-partner, she's still sticking up for him. She's still saying like, y'all are full of shit. He's not racist.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And yeah, I get it. And it's not like you want to say that she's wrong. She would have kind of the closest perspective of anybody in certain ways.
Yeah. I mean, this shit is complex. It really is. You've literally got two black women arguing with each other indirectly saying, or arguing about whether this white dude is racist or not.
It's not an easy problem.
Sorry. Half Lebanese person is racist or not. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let me be fair to Geoff.
You wouldn't have to unless they hadn't made it a point to point that out in some PR.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, I know. yeah. Very, very ignorant, unfortunate happenings. You know, it would have been better if Geoff had just said, hey, Ray, I'm sorry, man.
Oh, that's the most frustrating part of all of this is like I said before, there's some culpability to admitting this kind of, you know, wrongness later if you're a company with an employee.
Right.
I absolutely get it. I've been in that position, frankly, and it's difficult. The thing that you do have control over is the timing. You control when you do things. You control the decisions you make, and you control your, you know, the amount of contrition you show for those decisions and even the timing of those decisions. So coming at this early, do you, I mean, seriously, Ray Fisher would have never had calls to make half of the remarks he ever made if there had been some, just some effort by the team that was still there to actually make it right. I mean, it's the reason I stand with Ray Fisher as the tag is because over and over again, they've made a decision and made a call on it. And over and over again, we say, you made the wrong call. The call you were supposed to make was say, hey, we did you wrong, and here's why, and we'll try to make it better. And, dude, frankly, we would have forgiven him for being honest.
Yeah.
Like
Ray said he would have forgiven.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude.
Ray forgave John Berg.
People fuck up. Companies fuck up. Everybody fucks up. It's a thing. I'm probably doing it right now. Don't even know how.
Yeah. No.
But.
I don't know. I've probably said, 15 different offensive things to different people. Like,
I mean,
there's probably people that we lost with this conversation who just said, I can't keep listening to this white cisgender dude say the word black.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean, I alone have possibly made this the most cuss-worthy episode we've ever had.
Have you?
Possibly. It just feels like I've been kind of angry about the whole thing. And there's a lot of go fuck yourselves going around.
I don't even think I notice anymore.
Yeah, I use cuss words like commas, man. It's fine. But
you do.
There are a lot of ways that you could have made this better early on and just made an entirely different narrative happen. And hell, even if you didn't really believe what you were doing, if at least you knew that's what you should have done, you would have at least been admitting that you understood the actual dynamics of the situation. Unfortunately, what's happened is over and over again, they've made decisions that make it clear that they don't even fucking understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, the actual people in charge do not understand why they're in the position they're in, and they don't understand what simple, contrition would actually give them as far as how it would advance their position in the situation. It's infuriating. Like, honestly, I just want any of the people in charge at this point to go to like 6 sessions, just like 6 hours of therapy.
Yeah.
Just and do a little bit of self-work.
I'm not a bright person, okay? I don't pick up on social cues. I am woefully behind when it comes to what is and is not appropriate. With anything. But even I can sign on to Twitter. See, I don't even sign on. Like, that's like such an old way of saying it.
I can log into...
I can pop onto Twitter.
You just press the Twitter button.
Glance around and go, oh, they should apologize.
Yeah.
And they see this. They and with their, social media managers and all of their flashy cash and everything that they've got at their disposal. Sees all of these people upset over Ray Fisher. And over the Krypton situation, over just everything that's going on with Whedon and Johns. And by the way, Berg is nobody brings up Berg anymore because he was a man and he apologized. And Ray Fisher said, hey, he apologized.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, cool, John Berg's good.
Dude, I mean, that's the fact of it. It's like, it doesn't make up for things, but it does at least admit that you're aware that you're in that conversation in that way.
Yeah.
It's so you at least advance things forward instead of like still dragging your fucking heels.
To me, I just don't understand how any of these people at Warner Brothers are still saying, no, I think we need another hit piece.
Yeah.
We need to tell everybody that we're doing Black Superman. That'll work. And we'll renew Stargirl because that's diverse,
Yeah.
Hey, Ann, get me give me a whole binder full of black ladies. Because we know how that went.
And funny enough,
how binders full of women work.
It feels like the show that's been able to keep its head down is Doom Patrol, which is secretly possibly the most diverse thing in fucking all of CBMs at the moment.
They literally have fornicating ghosts.
Oh, fornicating ghosts, an actual object that is just like pansexual and queer neutral at the same time. Like, I don't even know how to describe what Danny the Brick is because I feel like the words that are available aren't adequate. Right. Or should they be? Doesn't matter. They don't need them. Danny the Brick.
Right.
Fucking Danny the Brick. That's all there is. Doesn't need to be anything. Or Danny the Street now. Or Danny that doesn't fucking exist anymore and he, she will show up when they fucking need to. Like, whatever. The point is, it's... I do love that they have, like, been able to keep their heads low. Like, Doom Patrol, they're not touting out Doom Patrol as, like, look, we can do this. Like, no, no, sweetie. No, no, no. You don't get to pull out Doom Patrol when you're in trouble and be like, no, look, but we did this. No, 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 no.
No, you know, that's possibly the smartest thing they could do is not pull out Doom Patrol in any of this situation in their diversity. Because that is exactly what Eddie Izzard used to talk about. Is like, no, nobody talks about the executive transvestite. Oh, everyone wants to talk about the weirdo transvestite. Don't point to Doom Patrol. This is just weird shit. Yeah. Just like, well, we've got a lot of diversity over here.
Yeah.
Look at this weird ass show. Just no. Just ignore that part. This is a bad case.
No, but overwhelmingly, like, the first show HBO Max said that they were absolutely taking on was Doom Patrol. Like, overwhelmingly, that show's positive response is just across the board.
Yes.
It would make sense if they were like, but look, we did this. And they haven't. And I do feel like somebody involved with Doom Patrol is like, if you fucking mention me right now, I'm out. We're out.
Mm-hmm.
The entire cast is out. Diane's out. Fucking. Brendan's out. The whole thing, we're done.
Yep. So, according to Deadline, it looks like Pennyworth might actually wind up on HBO Max for their third season.
Oh, fun.
I might actually watch it.
Yeah, maybe then I can actually literally afford to watch it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope they get to do that. Bruno Heller, apparently they really... They intended it to be a network show. And he says, Bruno Heller says, we were the last big network battlecruiser to leave the harbor, but we are very much a network show. I think now that we've realized that streaming is the new god, I think Matt's going to have a much easier time selling the kind of show that we wanted to do, talking about with Gotham, because we got a movie with movie star. He's got a movie with movie stars to back it up. Yeah, I do. I hope that Pennyworth comes to HBO Max and that I get to watch that whole thing over there. Because spending extra money on it when I'm already, you know, just soaked to the gills with TV shows, even with a DC podcast.
Yeah.
And I am curious. All right, we've got some listener feedback. Stu Little over on Twitter says, Green Lantern once crossed over with Star Trek Kelvin Timeline in the IDW comics. What other DC / sci-fi property crossovers would you enjoy seeing in comics or even animation?
Well, shit, specifically IDW, the Ninja Turtles thing has already come to fruition, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
As far as what else is in IDW, I don't know. But if we're just talking DC.
Well, he even said in just comics or animation, it doesn't have to be IDW.
Yeah, if we're just talking DC, DC and sci-fi, for me, it's always going to be just any version of Doctor Who visiting and finding a Batman.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, that was the first thing I thought.
There's already the episode where he finds like a basically Superman. and that was a fun episode, but
I think that turned out to be a sham though, didn't it?
I can't remember that ending. I just remember the first half where it was like he would just literally be in a kitchen and then 2 seconds later be back in the kitchen and nothing would change.
Right.
And it was like, oh yeah, just Superman. Gotcha. And I dug it. But there's a part of me that would love to see that, like the, you know, just the Batman, you know, aura. Around something like a doctor, any version of the doctor, frankly.
Yeah. There's a part of me that would love to like flesh out a universe where it was just like DC, Marvel, Star Trek, all the things I love were all somehow part of the same universe. But I generally don't go in for crossovers like that. I kind of just go, all right. And move on with my day. I just don't. I don't care.
It depends. I mean, one of the comics right now is like I think it's literally like Batman and Fortnite, and I don't care. It's not for me. I'm not.
Yeah.
In that community, and I hope they're enjoying it.
I don't know from Fortnite,
but it's never something I'm gonna. You know, I would say spend my money, but it's on like DC Infinite, and I'm still not gonna read it. I don't care. I don't know the Fortnite stuff at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some stuff that I loved a lot when I was a kid, and you know, by extension, I love it as an adult, like the X-Men Star Trek crossover that Marvel Comics did. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, you know, I kind of want to see Batman just like pop up in the X-Files world and just like spend 20 minutes and help Mulder solve this damn thing once and for all.
Okay. So that's exactly where I was thinking is I don't so much want. Okay. So sci-fi in some ways is just the paranormal stuff that I love so much.
Yeah.
I don't so much want sci-fi in the sense that like, I don't want outside of the stars. Well, aliens are interesting, but if we're talking DC, aliens are a hugely part of the equation, right? I want more like the occult and the paranormal stuff. Like, yeah,
there were those great crossovers with where it was like Batman versus Predator.
Oh yeah,
and Batman and Superman versus aliens.
Yeah.
And yeah, those were cool back in the day. Like Dark Horse did those.
Yeah, that's all good. And like, I'm sure there's like a Ghostbusters DC crossover somewhere that I can't remember.
Maybe.
Like, surely there is. Like, surely Venkman has met somebody in our universe as far as the DC thing. But no, I get more interested as far as like, what would you do with the DC character? I'm like, I'm gonna throw some ghost at him.
Yeah, Dead Man and Ghostbusters.
Oh fuck yeah. And like my imagination of that even is just like you turn on that little, you know, the device in the basement they turn on and they suck them up into.
Yeah.
And then like
containment.
Yeah, the containment. And like Dead Man's the one who like grabs onto the edge, is like, "You bastard, you can't let me in here," you know. And it's a Boston accent instead of the English one I just did accidentally.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And
I knew what you were trying to do and I knew how you failed, but it didn't matter. Just,
you know, that's what happened.
I still love you. You're family, man.
It'll be okay. Well, I'll move on. Some of us will move on. Some will never forgive me. But yeah, it's like it's like him just not fucking going in and or not even going in the little box as it is. And God, I've forgotten so many of the little terms of their equipment. But I mean,
trap.
Yeah, the little trap. Like I literally have a, you know, like a 12-inch recreation of recreation. I have a 12-inch version of that over on the shelf right here, and that kind of works. Couldn't remember the term.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed. But anyway, short of all my embarrassment,
just you're fine.
Yeah, like sweetie. Dead Man would be good. Gentleman Ghost showing up would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Just a version where like Constantine visits the Ghostbusters and is like, "Oh, you're doing it all wrong, mate." You know, would be just fucking fantastic. Or like, imagine the Ghostbusters go after someone that's like attacking, you know, a whole city, and they just find like Dr. Fate, and they just have to look at it and go, "What the fuck are we supposed to do with this?"
See, that's a good call. And you know, I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me because it's a Whedon property. I'd love to see Constantine in the Buffyverse.
Oh yeah,
run around with Spike.
No, I mean my paranormal love extends deeply into vampires and stuff like that as well. I mean even werewolves. Like to the extent that I'm, you know, I mean like I was a huge Anne Rice film fan. Still am. I just am not current anymore. Fuck, witches, werewolves, all that. Like, yeah, that's all. Like, the whole Halloween outfit, fantastic. Throw it at the DC Universe. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I see Zatanna show up somewhere, I'm like, well, I don't know where this is going, but I'm going to ride it for a little while. And sure enough, it actually goes pretty well.
That's not okay to say.
Yeah, it was halfway into that, realized that's where it was going. Just waiting on you to correct me.
First of all, Zatanna is not an it. She is a she. All right, so. And it's not okay for you to just ride her no matter where she's going. Anyway.
If there was a version where you'd just be like, well, I just don't know where that's going to go. You just don't know what dimension you're in at the moment, so. It's like hopping on a bus with no idea what the actual language is for the ticket you bought.
Right. I guess. I don't know.
Still, of Julio. All the things I just mentioned, John Constantine and Ghostbusters may be my favorite possibility.
Yeah, John, that was a good one. Julio over on Twitter says, what can we expect until a new DC fandom? More lies. Lies, false promises.
More deflection.
Yep. virtue signaling.
I deeply wish there was another answer to this. And honestly, anytime you say something like that, I want to be like, hey, no, look, I got nothing.
Yeah, you used to be like that. And now you've come around to my way of
it's
thinking.
I still have that filter. It's just right now I go through that filter in my brain and the filter says, no, let it pass.
No, he's right.
When there's a day where I'm like, hold on. Look at this. I'm not broken. That's still how I function. It's just I got nothing. Right now, lies, deflection, and dissembling. That's what you have to look forward to at the moment.
I think so, yeah. Giuseppe over on Twitter has a few questions for us. One, how many comics do each of you own and how many do you have yet to read? No way am I going to be able to tell you what that last part is. How many do I own?
I mean, I assume the just own and haven't read yet portion.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I have well over 4,000 comics, not counting trade paperbacks and digital, but I don't know. Well over, I have got, I would say probably over 1,000 digital comics. And, I don't know, man.
I'm going to guess a little under 2,000 between physical and a few digital for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the not red pile is currently 3.5 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, he also wants to know. It's about 7.5 inches high, including a couple of graphic novels.
Mm. He also wants to know, how do you guys prefer reading comics? Physical, digital, or both?
Physical.
I'm going to go digital. And I say that because my eyes are shit these days. And I don't like having to find a place where the light is really good in my house. Where I can holding comics. You know, you get that glare from the lights on them.
Oh, yeah. That's a bitch.
And also, when you actually have it printed, it's darker than it is in digital form. It's just the thing that happens in printing. It comes off a little darker than the original file a lot of times.
It literally goes into a dark place to copy. I mean, it's just a product.
And it also depends on what kind of paper they use. Like, I was a really big fan of the glossy paper from the 90s. Now they've kind of like gone back, I think, a lot onto like newspaper print, it looks like, or
they
maybe
did for
something
a
little better.
Now it's kind of back to the glossy.
Is it back to glossy? I pretty much gave up physical. I really like having a lit up display and being able to like zoom into panels and stuff. So even though there's like a nostalgia for me and I like looking at old comics, I think digital's my way now.
I think it's physical still for me, but I don't mind digital, but the problem is the way my eyes work. Like if I stare at a screen for too long, even watching a show, I'll find my eyes bouncing around a room too much.
Uh-huh.
So on a physical thing, when I can kind of put it up to my face, even when I bounce around, I'm still just catching pieces of the art and stuff. Uh-huh. On a physical thing, it's just a matter of like how I can physically do things in my home and space. I don't find myself in a position where I can like sit down in front of a big enough screen to really like incorporate all of my, visual field. It's more like when I do get to watch it visually, it's on like a tiny screen somewhere or something like that. Or,
mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with it for me. Like I've read a lot of comics that way and I'm fine with it, but still an interesting comic is an interesting comic. It doesn't really matter how you, engage with it, but physical, like still being able to like hold something, and it kind of helps hold my attention that I have to like pay attention to where the pages are and like, you know, if I'm leaning back, like reading it, I can't let it like sit down too much in my palm and stuff like that. Like it does control my like attention in a way that it lets me engage with the page a little bit more.
I feel you, man.
Also, I like the smell.
I do like the smell of comics. Yeah.
I like the smell of books, man. I mean, I fucking love a new spine smell. I love an old spine smell.
Yeah. No, I just got several books at Second and Charles the other day.
I saw that the graveyard book is I've read that. It's gonna be great.
Oh, the Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I was curious to see what you would think about the Civil War Ghost Stories book.
I didn't see that one actually. But that would be good.
It's a former library book. It was in the free bin.
Nice.
I was very pleased to obtain that. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed it quick because I was with my little sister who's into all the same paranormal shit we are. And I was just like, yonk. And she was like, what'd you just grab? And I was like, I showed it to her. She was like, oh, man. I was like, I saw that shit. I had to jump on it.
Faster hand wins.
All right.
The Graveyard book's pretty fun. It's one of those books where I kind of wish she had more time to go into more of. Like there was a lot more to do later, but he wraps up the story that he was telling well. Like he tells a story. There's just more to it, and it's Neil Gaiman.
There's more mythology you want to play with.
Yeah, it's Neil Gaiman, man. He's always writing 15 different fucking mythologies. Like this just isn't one of the ones that got all the attention.
Interesting.
But there was plenty to
Giuseppe
love about it.
Giuseppe also wants to know. He says with the news of Finn Whitlock. Being cast as Green Lantern, not sure if they confirm whether it's Guy Gardner or Hal Jordan. It was Guy Gardner, and then he says, "My question is, which character do you guys prefer him to play?" I'm fine with Guy Gardner. We've seen Hal Jordan. We've seen a lot of Hal Jordan over the years, not necessarily in live action, but he's one of those lanterns that just always kind of gets shoved down your throat, and. Even when he's not Green Lantern anymore, somehow it's like, and Parallax. And you're like, okay. And Inspector. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Hal. Okay. We get it. He's one of the best. He's one of the greatest. And like at a certain point, like I like Hal Jordan, but I also have a certain measure of resentment towards the character. And I think this was a thing Geoff Johns did. I liked Kyle Rayner. I wanted Kyle to stay Green Lantern.
Oh yeah,
I liked him.
He's my favorite attitude of all the Green Lanterns is Kyle Rayner. I don't know. He fit my personality more. I just liked him, and he's also the most creative of the constructs.
Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm glad you know whoever all the creators grew up on Hal Jordan and thought it was some travesty what happened to him in the 90s. What happened to Hal Jordan in the 90s is part of what got me into comics. When I was a kid, I thought there might not be a point to comics because I feel like nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
And then about a year after I openly talked about that, not that they would have heard it or anything, I guess like it was just like a roughly a thing that everyone kind of felt like, yeah, it's certain you read comics when you're a kid and then you realize they're never going anywhere. And they had already started introducing like actual adult themes and concepts. But then in the 90s, they kind of threw out stakes and you're like, holy shit, you got Superman dead. You got Batman with his back broken. Yeah. Friggin' Hal Jordan watched came back to see Coast City gone, destroyed and went nuts and became
one of the greatest villains in the entire universe. And
so, yeah.
Hell, even the Flash had died a few years before.
Right. And with all of that, I was like, well, shit. You know, Wally West has been Flash for a while now. Barry Allen was for, you know, decades. And there might be stakes here. There might be an actual story. You got freaking Dick Grayson as Nightwing. He's not Robin anymore. They're not just going to retcon it. They're not going to. And then I got into it. And then it turned out like, oh, yeah, we undid all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except for Nightwing. That was the one thing everyone was like, no, we got to keep Nightwing.
Yeah.
But everything else.
No, there's a Control-Z button that people push every once in a while. Like Command-Z, Control-Z, whatever. It's undo. Yeah, man. I mean, that part is a little bit unfortunate, although I do appreciate that you can kind of come back to the archetypes that have been there. and play with them. And, you know, you can come back, reestablish a thing, maybe have a different take on it, keep it. Look, man, that's the whole point, is these are just stories, archetypes, fucking demigods. They are just ideas. You can fuck with them.
Right.
And there's some beauty to that. And yeah, it's not always going to stay the way you like it, but sometimes it changes enough that you're reinvested, and that's cool too.
So yeah, I like Hal. Glad to not see him though. I'm glad they haven't brought him up. Maybe they'll bring him up. Maybe he'll be there, and I'll be fine with that. But I don't necessarily need to see him. I mean, yeah. I'd prefer to be Guy Gardner. Now, that said, I hope they don't veer too sharply from, like, away from Guy Gardner.
I think he'll still be mentioned because it just, how do you not?
Yeah, but yeah, I would really like to see Guy Gardner actually being like Guy Gardner is, you know, loudmouth, dumbass,
bombastic,
you know,
overconfident,
prone to getting his lights turned out by someone like Batman, who just doesn't want to deal with his bullshit anymore. Yeah, I don't want him to be like a how do I put it, immediately likable character.
Oh yeah, no, I want to hate him. That's,
I don't know that I want to hate him
initially, like in the first 10 minutes of the pilot, I want to not like this guy. I'm not saying the entire time,
you know, yeah,
but I don't want to come. I don't want to, like, the first scene in this movie, I don't want to see him like save a puppy. I want to see him like cut off somebody in traffic. You know what I mean?
Right. I wouldn't mind him saving a puppy.
Yeah.
And then later, like, having that puppy. No, let's do it like first 5 minutes. And you're like, okay, there's something good about this guy. Oh, he cuts off
somebody in traffic to save a puppy. Gotcha.
Right, right. Yeah, that'd be fun. Like, he just goes out of his way to piss people off on his way to save a puppy. Yeah. And then pats himself on the back for saving the puppy.
Okay, see, that at least it would be like, okay, yeah, no, he did a good thing. And then he's just too excited about himself.
goes out of his way, cutting people off, inconveniencing people to save the puppy, and then holds up traffic while he's taking a selfie
with the puppy
for Instagram with the puppy. Yeah.
Yeah. That I could dig.
I think that's going to do it for this episode. What do you think? How do you feel? You feel like you're good to go?
We can call it.
All righty. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of DC On Screen. You can find every episode theoretically at DCOnScreen.com. I've really got to fix this site up. God, it's just so awful. The last several, many, you can get. And you can at the very least find links to all the places that have it up for real. And I don't know. We'll see you next time. Until next time, what do we say? Keep some DC on your screen.
Yeah, see, I remember that part, not the freaking intro. In all fairness, we've had the other one longer.
Mm-hmm. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.